You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class here on KGYM for this Monday, the 14th of September. Thank you for joining us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here today. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Gazette. Buttons on the other side of the glass once again here today. Good Monday show coming up for you. Our Monday guest, Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will join us. He was in Ames on Saturday as Iowa State opened up their 2020 season. And it was different, certainly, in many different ways. We will talk about that coming up in a little bit. We'll look back at the college weekend. We'll look back at the first weekend of the National Football League, which continues tonight. Got a game for you coming up. We'll let you know about that in a little bit. And a lot of things to talk about from the weekend that was in the world of sports. And you're welcome to join in the conversation as well. Love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Again, that's 319-366-1600. That is also our phone line as well. Doubles up. 319-366-1600. As it is U.S. Open week. Winged foot for the first time in 14 years. First time since a very, very unforgettable United States Open. Or forgettable if you're Phil Mickelson, at least for one hole anyway. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, looking forward to the U.S. Open this week. Different time, of course. And Zach Johnson from Cedar Rapids will be involved. No tee times out yet, but we'll bring those to you when we find out. Kind of a wacky day. In the NFL, you mentioned college football in Ames and elsewhere, although not in the Big Ten. And there was noise at the Big Ten office over the weekend, but no vote has been taken by presidents and chancellors. And
they are the ones that you have to get their minds changed, folks.
Exactly.
And that's going to be easier said than done. I'd love to see it. And we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about it with Mike Halas as well coming up in a little bit. But I am not holding out hope that we're going to see Big Ten football sooner than later. I'm just not of that ilk right now. And until the presidents and the chancellors come aboard with this, there can be all the smoke and fire from the coaches, the players, the parents, what have you. But they're the ones that hold the cards. And more than one has said that things aren't going to change, at least as of right now.
It doesn't appear the Big Ten is very unified right now. That is one thing we know. there's a glimmer of optimism over the weekend with a round of talks and chancellors and presidents being updated on medical issues and perhaps scheduling for a start of the season in mid-October. But just a few minutes ago, Wisconsin Chancellor Rebecca Blank said during a teleconference when asked about Big Ten football, she said, quote, "I will say we're all going to move together in the Big Ten. We're all going to play or not if we possibly can. This isn't going to be a school-by-school thing." And that's one person's opinion, a very important person's opinion as to where talks stand right now. But we already know that the states of Illinois and Michigan, where four of the principals in the Big Ten reside, plus I think out east, either Maryland or Rutgers or both, have said they don't want to play football in the fall. So if Chancellor Blank of Wisconsin is correct on this thing, this isn't going to be a school-by-school thing. Where does that leave things?
Yeah. We'll talk about that more coming up in just a little bit. 319-366-1600 is the text line out there if you would like to get involved in the conversation. 1345 has says, total garbage, what an embarrassment. Now, I assume, are they speaking of what happened Saturday in Ames? or the Big Ten.
It could be either one, based on your opinion.
True. Yes.
And we're going to talk about
Ames, Iowa
Ames.
State.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, 1345, for that. Appreciate it. Let's start there because that's obviously very close to home, and that's the only game in town right now. Yes. I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat it. And I know some people tried to. I think they actually tried to a little bit on the postgame show a little bit. Louisiana came to Ames, and it could have been worse than what it was and what it ended up. As Louisiana beats Iowa State 31-14 on Saturday. The Ragin' Cajuns now into the top 25, asterisk, because the top 25 now does not include Big Ten and Pac-12 teams. They have taken those particular schools out of the latest AP poll. Iowa State, of course, falls out of the poll, but did receive 14 votes in the AP poll. But as I mentioned, Louisiana's in the poll, and normally, I would say that, yes, Louisiana, first of all, Louisiana is a very good football team. They won 11 games last year. This is not your run-of-the-mill Sun Belt team. As we mentioned on Friday and last week, that this was a team that has been proven in bowl games, has gone to bowl games, have not beaten a top 25 team since Jake Delhomme was there, but had not a whole lot of real chances to do so. They had a chance on Saturday, and they came through in a big, big way. The two things that were disappointing from that game, two biggest things, Mark, in my opinion, number one, is that that really, really, Iowa State had an opportunity on ESPN. First game out of the chute, basically on national television, as far as the college football season is concerned. On the first big Saturday, with a statement opportunity to show what Matt Campbell has done, to show what Iowa State has done, and there's really no better, there's no other way to say it. It didn't happen. And that didn't happen in front of the country. It didn't happen in front of recruits. It did not happen in front of college football experts.
Well, it was obviously very disappointing for the team and its fans, very few of which were in the stands at Jack Trice Stadium. The band, the cheerleaders, and family, were that was it. Plain and simple, I thought Iowa State looked slow.
Yes. Louisiana looked very fast. Louisiana looked very fast in that game.
You can't blame COVID. You can't blame anything because both teams were in the same position. And today, Matt Campbell in a teleconference, he said, quote unquote, there's no panic, which
is fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
This could still end up to be a very good season, but obviously the special teams let Iowa State down. The long pass was devastating. I kept waiting and waiting and waiting for Iowa State to take control of that game, and it never really happened. And yeah, could have been worse. Could have been better, though, without the special teams touchdowns in the big pass play. Iowa State very well.
I didn't think the Iowa State defense played that poorly.
No, I don't. I
don't either. Until the end, and they were trying to strip the ball some. I do understand that.
I think Iowa State's offensive line got exposed, and Trevor Downing went down.
Yeah, that was a big problem.
In the second half, and Matt Campbell is hopeful of getting him back this week. Which is an off week.
2 weeks.
Well, in practice this week.
Right. Yeah. For TCU. And yeah, it was just not a whole lot went right. Not a whole lot went right on Saturday. And love to hear from you out there. 319-366-1600, 1345 before we get to the phone here. The receiver said no separation. Secondary was draped over them all game.
And they played one-on-one coverage largely.
They did. A lot of man coverage that Louisiana put on Iowa State. And Brock Purdy did not have a good game. Brock Purdy had a lot of drops against him, but Brock Purdy just did not look like he was ever in rhythm as far as that game is concerned.
Charlie Kolar being out, I think that hurt some, that big tight end. But Iowa State's got three very quality tight ends. Kolar, an All-America, preseason All-America, and I think he was missed. He'll be back for TCU in 2 weeks, but that didn't help.
No, it did not. 23-25. Does no special teams coach need to change and add that position? I guess that's more of a Matt Campbell question than anybody else, but there are many other Power Five programs that do not have a quote unquote special teams coach.
I agree. It's not a novel approach, but it's one Iowa State has taken. And the one thing about that, I mentioned the speed of Louisiana, you can't really replicate that in practice if your team doesn't have an equal amount of speed. So there was that too, and I think it showed not only in special teams but other places.
319-366-1600. We're talking about Iowa State and the loss to Louisiana on Saturday. Going to bring in Kyle, who's, full disclosure, former Cyclone, and joining us here on the program. It was there have been better days at Jack Trice, Kyle.
There have. And, let me start by saying I have full faith in Matt Campbell and the staff and the relationship that I've built with those guys over time, and they know what they're doing. As far as Saturday goes, they did not have their football team ready to play, and that's the bottom line, and I think he's the first one to admit that. But I don't know if I've sat in a recliner on a Saturday with nothing else to do since we are quarantined ourselves at Kennedy. No film to watch for myself, and was just utterly disappointed in the effort.
Kyle, thanks for joining the show. And I want to ask you, as a former player at Iowa State, what does it mean when you say either the team was not ready to play or the coaching staff did not get them ready to play? Take us inside that as a player.
From being on both sides of it, Mark, with being a player and now being a coach, there's certain aspects of the game that the coaches are responsible having you ready, whether that be through film study or just emotionally ready to play the game. I've been in those games as a coach where I felt like we let our kids down because we weren't prepared or they weren't prepared enough.
Hmm.
Some of it falls on the kids. Granted, the stadium's empty. There's zero emotion throughout the whole game. There was zero sense of urgency, I felt like. The one thing as an offensive guy that drives me nuts is, why do you no huddle and then use 39 seconds of the play clock every time? I don't get it. You have 11 guys standing there looking at the sideline for 25, 30 seconds at a time. Get going. And I'm not in their meeting room. I'm not in their game plan, but as far as I could tell, there wasn't a whole lot of guys that looked like they wanted to be there.
Mm.
And I think in 2020, that's also another disappointing aspect, because you don't know how many you're going to get of these things, to be honest with you.
Right.
I mean, you know that as right. well as anybody.
Yeah, and we're learning that right now with our kids. Our kids are so disappointed at Kennedy not having an opportunity to play last Friday, and then possibly not play this week. We're trying to find a Saturday game, I believe. Coach White is working hard at that. But just an opportunity to get on the field and let these kids be kids and do what they love to do. And we'll see what happens.
All right. Hey, Kyle, appreciate the comments. Thanks, man.
No problem.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right. 319-366-1600 at 17 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Discussing the Iowa State lost to Louisiana, a good Raging Cajun team, of course, last Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. We're going to talk about that with Mike Halas, sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, in about 10 minutes or so. Mike was there in Ames and took in everything. It was weird. It was very – and I credit Jamie Pollard with trying to make it as quote-unquote normal as you can get it, with the band, with the cheerleaders, with the palms in the stands, socially distanced. And there were parents there. So some parents did get to come, so that was fantastic. They had maybe 1,500 or so from what we understood. So that was good to see. They let the Louisiana folks come in as well. So
these protocols really are the great equalizer in college football at this early stage. There's
like,
no home field advantage.
This is like playing in a monsoon.
it truly is a great equalizer at this point. And by the way, I really appreciate Kyle weighing in because it gives a very interesting and important perspective as a former college football player, which we aren't, and as a high school football coach, which we aren't.
Yeah.
Very important perspectives. Appreciate it, Kyle.
64-29. Bob Bowlsby, probably the university presidents and chancellors of the Big 12, chose to cancel fall football. Probably wish. It was a dark day for the Big 12. It was not a good day on Saturday for the Big 12. Iowa State goes down. Kansas State goes down. Now, Arkansas State had a game under their belt, I think, which helped a bunch, and played Memphis tough in that first week at Memphis. Kansas State replacing a lot of people for Chris Klieman. And then Texas Tech just barely held off Houston Baptist, or the Big 12 would have had three losses.
South Florida won last week against Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Coastal Carolina.
And beat Kansas, yes, for the second straight year.
Yeah.
Chanticleers? Chanticleers?
Indeed.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Bring in our friend Joel from Muscatine joining us here in the Monday edition of the show at 3:20. How you doing, Joel?
Good. I'm working from the office again, so I actually can step away and call you because I haven't had to rely on the text. So that's good.
Congratulations, yeah. Joel.
Yeah, I'm out of lockdown. It's great. the thing with it with the Iowa State game, I felt like as I was watching that game, I was watching a similar situation where Northern Illinois came into Kinnick Stadium a few years ago with Jordan Lynch at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a devastating loss for the Hawkeyes. But then you look at that team down the road, and Northern Illinois went undefeated that year, or 13-1 or 12-1 or something like that on the season. I think Louisiana is that type of team, watching them play. And the other thing, too, with these empty stadiums, I was watching a couple of games Saturday night with a friend of mine who is a Division II official, and obviously he's off right now because they don't have a season for his games. And he was saying, he hates to admit it, but fans really do influence calls, and there were a couple like pass interference type situations that I saw throughout the day, and especially in that Iowa State game, where if you've got 60,000 fans going nuts, that flag probably comes out. But in that situation, the emotions aren't as amped up, and the official is thinking more and will keep it in his pocket.
Mm.
So there is a lot to that, to having these empty stadiums, and the games are being called a little bit more sans emotion from the officiating standpoint. Unless you're headbutting an official, then they're going to get a flag. But it's weird to watch these games in those stadiums, but I do think it's affecting the officiating.
That's a very interesting perspective. Very interesting perspective. Appreciate that, Joel. Hey, great to have you back in the office. Call anytime.
Sounds good, guys.
Joel from Muscatine joining us here on the program here at 3:22.
Another great point. Adding to Kyle's perspective as a player, Joel and his officiating friend came to an interesting conclusion. I think that's just one more aspect of few, if any, fans in the stands.
Yeah, it is. And there is some emotion that plays into it. I will say one thing. What was stranger to see? No fans at college games or no fans at college or pro games? Which one did you think was a little bit stranger, Mark? Or do you have an opinion?
I think the college, but you also had places like Florida State. They had a lot of people in the stands. And
perhaps
Notre Dame
didn't want that because Florida State lost again.
Notre Dame had quite a few fans in the stands. There were others like Iowa State who probably had 1,500 people, mm-hmm. 2,000 at the most.
Yeah.
And but the NFL, I didn't think. Trying to think back of the games I watched yesterday, and
Well, it was the Bear game.
The piped in crowd noise was, yeah, okay.
We
all know there's nobody there.
It should be good because I think the main reason for piped in crowd noise is so that you, and I would like to apologize because tuning in several times yesterday to our Sports USA Westwood broadcast in the afternoon, there were some... there were some phrases that were uttered that you could hear in the background that probably should not be uttered. I'm just saying that.
From on the field?
Oh, yeah. Or in coaches too close to... I mean, without the crowd noise, you hear that stuff now. It was wild. It was, as Johnny Carson would say, it was weird, wild stuff, man.
Another thing in the college game I thought was interesting, and I don't remember which game it was, but Mike Golic Sr. doing the color.
Yeah, that was the Iowa State game.
Oh, that was, of course it was. And he did an excellent job.
He did.
But he was not at the stadium.
No, neither one were at the stadium.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know how they would do that.
Oh.
That would be virtually impossible. You have to have so many rules and whatnot, things to go over prior to it. Joel would know that as well, but I do not know how. I think it was Tom Hart and Mike Golic. I don't know how they did that. I mean, that was, they did a fine job as far as that game is concerned. 25 past the hour of 3. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back a little bit more about the NFL, and then we'll talk to Mike after a second break. So stay with us. More to come. Gym Class coming your way on a Monday here on KGYM.
The name of the business is called Archery Veterans Barbecue and Catering Service. I grew up watching my mom in the kitchen as well as my grandfather. I absolutely loved to cook. I previously went to one bank and was told no. Hearing that word no, it's gut-wrenching sometimes. Then I walked into the Paco. The first thing they did was said, hey, look, let's open you a checking account. Where do you want to grow financially? First thing that I did state was, I want to own my own business. John wanted to know how serious I was. Give me your short-term and long-term goals. Once I did that, I came back to him with a game plan, and from that aspect, it just blossomed. Thank you for believing in me, not only as an individual, as a father, as a veteran, and as a human being.
Learn more about our impact at dupaco.com/impactful. Federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
If it's time to update your home, the designers at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help create the space of your dreams with impeccable Wellborn cabinetry. The Wellborn family began crafting these American-made cabinets nearly 60 years ago, and the tradition of utmost quality and care continues. So for a space that's remarkable indeed, design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything. Camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brammelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics, add getting your Iowa coaching authorization from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood state-approved, fully online classes are happening right now. Sign up and begin your online course anytime, anywhere, and get on track to reach your goals. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:28 here on KGY. I'm about 5 minutes away from our Monday talk with Mike Halas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He was in Ames on Saturday talk about that. We'll talk about the possibility anyway of a vote as far as presidents, chancellors, etc. in the Big Ten. Could we see Big Ten football? Who knows? That is the subject of our poll question as well for this Monday on September the 14th. Correct, Mark?
It is indeed. Brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City.
Hello, Steve.
Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Settlement been serving customers since 2003. And the poll question is, if you were a Big Ten president or chancellor, would you vote to play football at this point in time? Yes or no?
Go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com, and we'll talk about that with Mike Halas coming up here in just a little bit. Pro football yesterday. By the way, we've got NFL football tonight. Busy night of sports here on KGYM. We'll get things started at 6:30 for you, as it will be on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM, the Cyclone Coaches Sideline Show. Did I get that right? Buttons is shaking his head, yes. No calls. They're just going to talk it over. That'll be at 6:30 tonight, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM. Mark and I will be glued to 107.5 FM, the Jim OT, at 6:30, as it'll be game one between the White Sox and the Twins for supremacy of the American League Central. Who's got the best record in the American League, Mark?
That'd be the Chicago White Sox.
How about that?
It was a huge day in Chicago yesterday, and unfortunately, I think the White Sox might have taken third seat. I picked the White Sox.
I'm accustomed to that for many years, Mark.
I picked the White Sox to win that division. I'm rooting for the Twins, but the White Sox are playing very, very well. First of four tonight. The White Sox winning streak coupled with Alec Mills throwing a no-hitter for the Chicago Cubs, the 16th in franchise history. His story has been well documented by now, walk on in college and so on and so forth. And then the Bears' most unlikely comeback, in my mind, I was down in the dumps until the fourth quarter
began.
Is
there a curse against the Detroit Lions? DeAndre Swift dropping a touchdown pass.
I got a text. Was that Ronnie Harmon?
that's
pretty cruel. But
that's cruel.
Poor guy had a good game as a rookie and just flat out dropped that potentially game-winning touchdown pass. But I was happy about it.
I know you were. Lions fans, not so much. But a good win for the Bears on the road. The two road teams won the NFC North games yesterday.
Boy, the Packers, mighty impressive. And that I would never have guessed. 75-80 points would have been scored in that game. But Rodgers was terrific. Alan Lazard from Iowa State had a really good game. Green Bay, very, very impressive against the team that some thought, and they may, in the Vikings win that division. We shall see. But, man, the Packers got an A-plus in week one.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. We mentioned a couple of high school notes here, not for this Friday night, but for the following Friday night when Linmar comes off quarantine. Their game against Cedar Rapids Prairie, which was scheduled on September the 25th, is now being played on Saturday, September the 26th. That just made known a few minutes ago by Cedar Rapids Prairie. Also, Northeast Goose Lake has announced their team has gone into a 14-day quarantine. So their next two games against Durant and West Branch will also not be played. As 4A continues to be a whirlwind of who's going to play whom this week.
Well, how can Prairie Linmar be Saturday and not Friday? It's very simple. The Linmar quarantine, in addition to the Kennedy quarantine, are over at 10 p.m. on Friday night. So, therefore, we heard from Kyle, who's a coach at Kennedy. Kennedy trying to pick up a Saturday game.
Yeah, and I hope they
smart.
Can.
Smart. I do, too.
Hope they can.
Then we have the Iowa City situation. I know we need to get back to the NFL, but, again, I feel so, so bad for the athletes in Iowa City that they're going to extend the online learning for two more weeks and thus sideline, at least for right now, the football, volleyball, cross-country seasons.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 as we continue to take your texts on the text line. I will just summarize Mike from Marengo saying he would vote yes if he were a president or a chancellor in the Big Ten. We'll find out what Mike Halas has to say. All this predicated on the fact that other conferences are playing, plus the fact that there is a new test, perhaps, that the results can come back much quicker. And it doesn't mean that I just, in my heart of hearts, hope we have football in the Big Ten, but my head tells me that the presidents and the chancellors are not going to do an about-face on this thing anytime soon.
Well, if you're in the Big Ten, you watched, by my count, at least 10 sports in action on Saturday and Sunday. From college football to Major League Baseball to
NBA. First time it happened.
WNBA, PGA, NHL.
Racing.
U.S. Open
IndyCar,
tennis.
IndyCar, NASCAR.
And we were talking before the show earlier today, and college is different because you've got the general student population aspect to it, and it is different in that regard. But to my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, there has been very little, if any, evidence of transmission on the field, on the court, on the ice. It's been peripheral stuff where kids going to a party or a bar or having a house gathering with too many people. Reckless stuff that spreads this thing, evidently. But nothing nothing per se on the field of play. That I have seen. I know some college football games were either canceled or postponed over the weekend. But once again, I don't know for a fact that those were related to what they're doing on the field of play. These sports, these athletes are really taking care of the situation. Whether the Big Ten takes that into consideration, I don't know. I think myocarditis is a very important, relevant issue. I think the jury's still out, but some studies like the one at Ohio State definitely has to raise some eyebrows and some questions. So we shall see what the Big Ten and Pac-12 do. I read today the Pac-12 tests are actually better than what they're doing in professional sports. So then we got the wildfires. And, yeah.
Oh, everything going on. 26-62 before we get to a break. If no football, what's that mean to basketball? A team that we have, I assume he's talking about Iowa, that's a contender for a national championship. Well, sounds like basketball is looking at November 21st as the date that they are going to try to start the season with at least 4 non-conference games. It was also announced that the Battle for Atlantis will not take place in beautiful Atlantis or wherever the heck that is. It's going to be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. There's no offense to any of our fine listeners with South Dakota roots, there is somewhat of a difference between Sioux Falls, beautiful place, been there a couple times, Sioux Falls and Atlantis.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Little, especially in November.
There is one more text on the text line, 9896. The risk of transmission outside on a field is so much lower than in the classroom, but it only takes one case to change people's mind. We were talking during the break, and I know we need to bring in Mike Halas very quickly, but watch the college football games, watch the NFL games. Coaches and people on the sidelines, officials wearing masks, players weren't. I'm not advocating one or the other, but very interesting dichotomy there.
Yeah. All right, break, and we'll come back and talk to Mike after this.
Baseball is finally back for the 2020 season, and let's just say we're all ready. Follow along as our twin squad looks to pick up where they left off last year.
Back it goes, deep it goes, and gone!
And some of this.
Swing and a miss, he got him. The Minnesota Twins win it.
It's a season to remember how important Twins baseball truly is. One team, one territory, one season. The 2020 Minnesota Twins. Baseball is back.
If it's time to update your home, the designers at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help create the space of your dreams with impeccable Wellborn cabinetry. The Wellborn family began crafting these American-made cabinets nearly 60 years ago, and the tradition of utmost quality and care continues. So for a space that's remarkable indeed, design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at your local automotive retailer.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
So the weather is just all over the place lately, right? One day it's hot, and the next day it's windy for a while. It's like, make up your mind already. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what covering your bases is in baseball, right? Making sure you have no holes in your defense. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. And you'll pay up to 50% less than big carriers and still use their same networks. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G. No contract, no mystery fees. Fully covering your bases for 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:40 here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it. A bevy of sports tonight. We've got the Cyclone Coaches Sideline Show at 6:30 on 102.3 and historic 1600 AM. Twins and the White Sox at 6:30 on 107.5 FM. And then on 1600, 102.3 and 106.3 FM at 8:45, the back end of the NFL doubleheader tonight, which will come from Denver. It'll be Tennessee and the Broncos coming up tonight. That is after the first game, which features the Steelers and the Giants. So we've got NFL football late night for you tonight right here on KGYM. Michael Ah set to join us. Read his terrific stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Halas, H-L-A-S. We encourage you to do so. And Mike was one of those in attendance on Saturday in Ames as Iowa State opened their season against Louisiana. Mike, good afternoon, first of all.
Yes, good afternoon to you, fellows.
It was football on Saturday. And very, very good article yesterday, by the way. Did find it pretty fascinating. It was a pretty fascinating day, I would imagine, from the get-go.
It was definitely different, as we all knew it would be. I was looking forward to it all week. Live college sports to cover. 6 months of feeling like I was in a professional rut, really. And, you know, finally the world starts again. And the drive to the city limits of Ames was just like it ever was. But once you get to the city limits and there's no traffic backup, and then you find yourself behind the Louisiana team buses with a police escort separating you, and you drive right up to the stadium without any problem because there's hardly any traffic at all. You go into the stadium and there's nobody there. And I found just a bit weird. It was I walked in and got up to the press box and sat down, and it's like my enthusiasm for it just kind of went right out the window.
In terms of, go ahead, Mike.
No. Just it's. And we talked about it here last week, but as annoying as it can be to deal with all the congestion and the traffic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when it's an empty stadium, it's an empty experience. And I didn't find that I enjoyed it, and I don't think that would have had much to do with how the game was played.
From a reporter's perspective, typically you've got the head coach – in front of a microphone, in front of several reporters, but that didn't happen. You couldn't, you know, pull a player away and ask a specific question. How'd that all go?
Well, I don't like that either. And it sounds like I don't like anything, which is not true. I like ice cream very much.
You like tree removal people over here.
I love tree removal people. They're doing a great job all over Cedar Rapids. I mean, this is stuff people don't care about, Mark. But, I mean, well, when I want to talk to players after the game, I want to be able to see their body language. I want to hear the tone of their voice. I want to see their faces. Doing it by Zoom, and, you know, you can't ask your questions. To me, it's worthless. And it's nobody's fault.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nobody's fault. It's just the way it is.
As far as the go ahead,
but people aren't going to get the kind of reporting and the kind of sports stories that they're used to getting.
As far as the game, we know it was a clunker, no question about it.
Unless you were from Louisiana,
Iowa State perspective, and I made the comment earlier. I thought speed showed, what'd you see? Why did Iowa State lose?
Well, I mean that was certainly a vital part of it. Those two punt returns were mismatches, the long kick returns.
Mm-hmm.
They were mismatches. The one play all day that on offense that Louisiana made that I remember was a mismatch. The receiver LeBlanc just blew right past the secondary. It wasn't anything fancy. But to me, yeah, speed, but also, and I think you guys alluded to it earlier in your show, was the offensive line play. I mean, here we are in year five of Iowa State under Campbell, and he came to Iowa State with a reputation of developing offensive linemen, and I haven't seen it. You know, I mean, I know that one of their key offensive linemen got hurt in the first half and was out, and that doesn't help, but you're a Big 12 school. You're supposed to have depth. It's football. Players get hurt. You got to replace them. And it's the difference, you know, dragging Iowa into it. The difference to me between them and the Iowa program is Iowa develops linemen. And David Montgomery is the best college running back this state has had since David Johnson. And he had a nice game yesterday with the Bears, I thought. And David Montgomery led the world in yards after contact. I often wonder what would he have done if he had had a couple of NFL blockers in front of him at Iowa State. Well, I feel the same way about Breece Hall. This guy's got great skills, but I hope that we get to see him utilized to the maximum someday, because there's a lot of time when he's not getting much help, and Brock Purdy, the quarterback, didn't have a good day and admitted this as much. It was, to me, it was obvious. But at some point, I think you get tired of having defensive linemen and others breathing down your neck. So it's just one of the most fundamental things in football. Do you win between the margins, as they like to say, or not? And they did not. And then, of course, you know, look, if they don't give up the two long kick returns, they win the game. But that's, you know, like saying that if the wind hadn't blown really hard a month ago, we'd have all our trees.
Yeah. How damaging was this? Because of the fact that it was the first game basically out of the chute.
And
the
Campbell said no panic.
First, I know that. I'm asking asking Mike's opinion.
Yeah, well, it's bad.
Yeah, the nation was watching. The nation was watching this game.
I mean, the amount of inventory the networks have is less. So the games they do show get scrutinized all the more. They were talking about Iowa State in the pregame show on ESPN, Herb Street and Corso and everybody. They were talking about Iowa State at halftime and after the game on these shows. And it wasn't good stuff at halftime, or especially after the game. It's your chance. It's here you are on ESPN for 3 hours. Who are you? And Iowa State's answer to that was nothing that you need to really know about. You know, and I know it's one game and it's a long season and they've had rough starts before and come on and beaten good teams and had winning records. I know all that. But do you want to be more than that? And there have been pockets of time under Kirk Ferentz when there were complaints about Iowa getting off to slow starts, losing to Northern Illinois and North Dakota State. That matters. You only get this year, you only get 10 games. So every game is even more important. And what Iowa State will have to do to get back in the top 25 now, even in a year when there are less teams to climb over, is a lot, because they've been booted out of the top 25, and it's going to take a whole lot of convincing to put them back in.
Well, once again, the eyes are on the Big Ten, Mike. Big Ten sat back along with the Pac-12 and watched a whole lot of other teams play college football on Saturday, and a lot of scrambling and meetings in the Big Ten office over the weekend, as I know you know. But there's speculation, once again, open whether the Big Ten wants to join everybody else in the world and play sports. And judging by a couple comments today, including the one from Wisconsin's chancellor saying we're going to go it all together or not at all, that's not very optimistic.
Yeah, I don't know who to believe or what to believe.
Right.
I thought that something was going to happen today. Maybe it still will. But this is, I mean, one of the biggest problems that the Big Ten has faced is there's not the unity. You know, Nebraska and Ohio State have made their feelings crystal clear. Iowa hasn't been as vocal about it, but we know where Iowa's coming from, too, and that's with Nebraska and Ohio State. But it's not a united front by any means. And the Maryland's and Rutgers and Michigan's, they're not all that revved up about it beyond their coaches and players. So how this deal turns out, and do you get 9 yes votes, which you need, and if you do, does that mean you'll have 14 football teams? I don't know. I don't know, but I know there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure from the fans, from the communities, economically, a lot of pressure. There's a lot of political pressure. You know, a lot of opportunistic politicians have weighed in here in the last week, people who really do have more significant things to concern themselves with, but choose an easier route, and that's to pander to people. And then, you know, they see that, yes, there are games going on elsewhere, and the NFL's playing, and the Big 12, and the SEC, and the ACC, and the Sun Belt, the most dominant football conference in the world, by the way, they're all playing. And are we going to get forgotten about? Which is a very real thing. You know, everybody forgets that you can be forgotten about very quickly, no matter who you are. And that applies to Big Ten football as much as anything. And they don't want to sit out the college football playoff and have the whole attention of the country going on SEC and ACC and Oklahoma and Texas and whoever else.
Not to mention the money.
Right. And, yeah, again, back to the financial element of it. There's an enormous amount of pressure, just enormous. And if the Big Ten doesn't relent and try and get this thing done, I'm going to be shocked.
Yeah, I don't know. I just find it very hard to fathom the fact that the Big Ten chancellors and presidents are going to do an about-face on this and get the supermajority that they need as well.
That's what, just so many elements to it. Mike making the point about the unification, and I don't think that's there. But then you have the other aspects, like the financial, like the pressure from, you know, coaches. You know, there's so many aspects to it.
Yeah, and there are opposing points of view. I mean, I saw something from Rutgers last week that said that the other conferences have showed really what they're all about. And it was an inference, and it wasn't really even an inference. It was sort of a direct statement that, you know, their priorities are, let's get that money. Yeah. Well, you know, you can certainly make that argument because you know what? For all the football we see being played right now, we still don't know what the end game is going to be on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at college campuses, Michigan State's got their problems with the COVID. Wisconsin had a 2-week shutdown, basically, of on-campus stuff.
Iowa shut down for a while.
Iowa's had problems. Alabama, problems. And, okay, football seems to be safer than school, yes, but, I mean, you look at high school football in Iowa, and most teams are playing and getting through it. But not everybody. You look at the major college scene. There was supposed to be a game this week, BYU at Army, that would have been the best game in the country, I think. Two good teams that have gotten off to great starts. They're not playing because of something, you know, an outbreak at BYU, I believe.
Yeah.
And there are, I think, 4 or 5, maybe 6 games this week that are postponed. So, yeah, they are playing, but it's not a smooth ride, and it's not going to be a smooth ride. And I think all it takes is for an Alabama or an Oklahoma or a Clemson to have to say, look, we got to sit out for 2 weeks, and the thing is kind of a house of cards.
Yeah, it could happen. And then, who knows, the Big Ten presidents and chancellors might look like the smartest people in the room. By the way, it's Fun Belt, Mike. Fun Belt.
Yeah, unless it's in the Great Plains, and then it's two dirty words. I mean, Kansas State losing at home shocked me. I know that
Arkansas State's pretty good.
Yeah, but I just, you know, but this is, you get in your head. Well, they're the Big 12. Yeah, okay. It was the first week, and they haven't practice like they normally practice. You can make all these excuses, but the thing is, there was a lot of sloppy, poor football in week one, and they are just college kids. So, I mean, I do think Iowa State could turn out to be a pretty good team, but the disappointment of not getting off to that good start in a 10-game season when every win's going to matter, oh, boy.
Watching Oklahoma and Texas, though.
Well, Oklahoma and Texas were smart. They scheduled themselves
a win.
I mean, really, Iowa State's mistake was it scheduled itself a team that won 11 games last year and is good.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Top 25 team now, which is interesting in its own right to see some of the teams that are in there. And I know it doesn't mean a hill of beans right now, but it's still kind of interesting to see some of the folks that are in there. But then you still have teams that are trying to turn things around that are still having problems, like Florida State losing at home to Georgia Tech with trying to get things turned. I mean, it's just – it's funny. I mean, there's it's college football in 2020, I guess.
Likely same subject matter next week, Michael.
Yeah, I know. And the answer, the basic answer is going to be the same as it was in the middle of March, mm-hmm. which is – I don't know.
Yeah. Well, college basketball looking at a November 21st start. Who knows if you're going to have it then? Who knows how many non-conference games they're looking at for? Who knows if people are going to be in arenas? We do know the battle for Atlantis is going to be in Sioux Falls. That's what we know at this point.
Yeah, well, it's like there was an old song when I think in the 70s, when California was experiencing earthquakes, better get ready to tie up the boat in Idaho.
There you go.
Don't remember the 70s. Sorry about that.
Yes, well, some of us, never mind. I'm not going to suggest that you were spending your free time in a way that could have been more productive.
Well, no, we're not going to do that. Mike, appreciate it as always. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk next week.
All right, then.
Mike Halas, read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, @Halas. Joins us on Mondays on the gym class here in KGYM. More on the Big Ten. Of course, we had the no-hitter this weekend as well in Chicago. Second one of the year, both in Chicago. White Sox and the Cubs getting no-hitters. Cyclone Coaches Sideline Show tonight at 6:30, 1600, 102.3. Twins White Sox tonight, 107.5 at 6:30. NFL Football, 1600, 102.3, 106.3 tonight. That will be at 8:45, the back end of the doubleheader. The Tennessee Titans and the Denver Broncos going at it here this evening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Good luck to your Sox.
Good luck to your Twins.
But not too much.
But not too much. All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex, they are coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great Monday night. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Tuesday at 3.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Superstart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Our